our culture is it's very authentic. It's very easy to show up as myself and to feel welcomed as myself.
These are originally live chat sessions that I held, and you can join them in the future on sales.n.pixels on Instagram. My name is Koji, and this is Sales and Pixels.
We're going to have four guests today from Lyft's product design team. And if you're not in US and you're not in Canada, maybe you're not familiar with Lyft, but Lyft is a ride-sharing company that offers an app to unlock the cities from rentals to transit, bikes and scooters. Lyft gives all the best transportation options, so you don't have to have a car. This is the first time we have more than one guest, so let's see how this unfolds. I'm very excited. So Lenya is a product designer on transit, bikes, and scooter team in New York. Prior to Lyft, Lenya was a designer at Realtor.com and award-winning agencies like RGA and Aqua. Welcome to Sales and Pixels.
Hey, thank you. And don't worry about it. A lot of people can't pronounce Realtor. You're not the only one.
Yeah, this is my Portuguese accent. Anyways, you know, first things to talk about is the Unmute conference, because that's why we're here. And you're a part of the group that won the challenge. We had an internal design challenge to think about transportation in different decades. And your team was very creative, I would say, thinking about like the 19th century. So I want to talk a little bit about the conference, the UMU conference. We had this challenge, and I believe you guys worked together to come up with this this solution. I'm just curious about, like, how do you come up with one idea with four people? I guess, like, you never worked together in like 20 minutes. How was that process? Especially you're talking about remote work.
Totally. And I think if maybe we want to remind people like kind of what the challenge was a little bit. I just kind of looked at it, and it was basically that we had to come up with just kind of like a funny way of how people can get from point A to point B. If it was the 1880s, I think that was our teams. And we were kind of looking at some steampunk elements and things like that. And just kind of as like a heads up, like, I've actually only been at Lyft for about 3 months as well. So I've never met any of these people before.
Welcome, by the way.
yeah, thanks. And so it's really just kind of embracing a lot of the different team members and just the personalities that kind of come together, right? I think for me, it was things like this are always sort of fun, because in your head, you have something that you imagine, but other people are also bringing their own perspectives to it. And so I think like a trick is to not try to force it, and just kind of more focus on what other people are kind of giving to you, and therefore then like reacting to it, right? I think an example of that is, I think one of the teammates we were working with, Akhil, we were kind of talking about putting a horse on tracks. And in my head, I was thinking about like a real horse, and you just like, maybe like a real horse wearing rollerblades or something like that. and in my head, that was like an ironic image, and I thought it was kind of funny or whatnot. But when he actually just kind of put it on the screen, he actually drew like this steel horse. And so with something like that, it's like, you know, I'm not going to shut that down. It's like, okay, like that's what it was in his mind. Then you just kind of build on top of it. So I think there's a lot of that, like being open to the different ideas and then just kind of pivoting as people contribute.
Very cool. All right. And I know you work on the TBS team in New York. Can you talk a little bit about your role today and how it is to be in the Lyft office in New York? I never been to the office there, by the way. Oh, actually, you didn't. Yeah, but you can talk about the team.
Right. Yeah, so I started this job during, you know, quarantine, pandemic, and stuff like that. So I actually have never been to the office either. I'm not even quite sure where it is. I know that it's somewhere in Hudson Yards here in New York. Yeah, so I work specifically on transit bikes and scooters, so I'm not actually on rideshare. There's a lot of different teams that are working on different pieces of the business within transit bikes and scooters. There's people working on the rider experience, you know, payments, pricing, and things like that. My specific team is actually called Growth and Memberships. Can mean a spectrum of things. For me, a lot of it is about communication of value, getting people to try us out, that sort of thing. Taking a look at just the different types of memberships and that sort of thing. So one big thing that we really are trying to focus on right now actually is trying to close like the awareness gap between, say, like Lyft, the brand, and also the actual individual bike shares, right, across the country. So this is actually kind of a nice place to plug it. Like, if you don't know that City Bike in New York City is actually owned and run by Lyft, this is a good way to learn about it. But there's also some systems across the country, like Chicago, we have Divvy. In San Francisco, there's something called Bay Wheels.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, I know this is gonna, we have to improvise here. So for people who are watching us right now, if you have questions, feel free to shoot the questions anytime, because we're gonna have about 15 minutes to chat with each of the guests today. So it's gonna be very quick. All right. Maybe like a more open-ended question. You just joined Lyft, and I'm curious about like, what is the most exciting thing that you felt so far, or you presented so far?
What is the most exciting thing that we presented so far? I mean, I think maybe it's not a specific project, but I think for me, what's most exciting is actually just being able to work on something that I get to use every day. I haven't actually been able to do that yet in my career. I've worked on, you know, educational apps that are for like K-5 and stuff like that, but I actually get to use this every day, so it's pretty cool to kind of design for yourself. I get to see the things that we're doing.
All right, so we have a question from R. Mishra. Is what's been the most surprising thing as you started? What have you learned so far?
What have I learned so far? I've learned a lot so far. I've definitely learned a lot. I mean, Lyft is the biggest design team that I've ever worked with. I don't think I've actually ever worked with a design team that was larger than 20 people. And I think at Lyft, there's what, 140 or something like that. Koji, you know this better than I do. And I think what's been the most fun and interesting has just been the fact that everyone's kind of coming together with so many different backgrounds and interests. I think I've learned more about motorcycles in the past, you know, 2 weeks than I ever have learned just trying to read about that stuff myself, and design of cities and design of sidewalks. And so I think a lot of that sort of extracurricular knowledge that just has really helped inspire me and just kind of continue learning. So that's been really, really cool.
Very cool. Awesome. Now we'll have to follow up with the last question, which is weird. This has been super, super fast. If you have anything to leave, any message, or especially we have a lot of people here who are either trying to transition to product design, or maybe they want to get a job at Lyft or in a similar company. Do you have any message or suggestions or advice for people?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I think really just I got to think about this one. That's a good question. I think honestly, one of the things I think about a lot is just, do you actually? I know right now the world is kind of like a tough place to be in, and so this is maybe a little bit of a vulnerable question. I know that a lot of people might feel kind of jaded about all the different companies out there, that you might not feel connected with the mission, or you might not even agree with the mission sometimes, and a lot of it feels really kind of unfulfilling in a lot of ways. I guess my only advice to that is, you know, just try to look at the small things that you can maybe potentially try to do. You know, whether it is in your daily life or politically or with your work, you know, even let's say that you're working at a company that you don't really agree with what the product is about. At the very least, you can make the lives of your teammates better and things like that. I think that's been really helpful in terms of just operating on a day-to-day level. So,
yeah. Awesome. Thank you. This is beautiful. I'm glad that we talked. I learned a lot about you in just 15 minutes. We definitely should catch up more. All right, Lynn, thank you so much and have a great rest of your week. All right, now we're gonna continue to the next. Hey, Dario.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly. All right, Dario, let me introduce you very quick. I have to make this very fast. Dario is a product designer and risk solutions team in San Francisco. Dario is a gamer. And prior to Lyft, he worked at Electronic Arts. So if you have questions to Dario, please start to send in the comments here. Welcome, Dario, to Cells and Pixels.
Hi, thank you for having me.
All right. Cool. Dario, we're talking with Len about the just the nature of the work we do at Lyft, right? Like you have to think about the digital, like how things are represented in a screen, but we also have to think about like everything around it, right? Like the human connection and the many things that happen in at the time that someone get in a car and leave a car or get a ride. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like how do you think Lyft, the work that we do at Lyft has this connection between the layers of product and service?
Yeah, I think I'm sort of in a unique position. So just for everybody here to get a little bit of context, I work on the risk team and particularly on the claim side. What that means is that I handle the end-to-end experience for drivers that have had an accident. So it's generally a very sort of delicate moment for drivers. On the driver's side, you know, they just had an accident, they need to report it. They're probably scared about many things. If they have not been injured or lost money on the accident, they also just maybe lose their livelihood if their car gets deactivated. And so on the other side, you know, we handle the software as well that handles all these claims, and you know, the better that the software is, the faster that these drivers may be able to go on the road if their claim you know, gets resolved quickly. So I think one of the main things to consider, and something that I learned in this team particularly, is that, you know, I have to be very mindful of the wording. I have to be very mindful of the imagery that I use on the products. I have to be very mindful of how to get them in and out quickly of reporting the accident, getting all the information that we need to actually be able to help our advocates to solve that quickly, but also, you know, not make the process really long or tedious for our drivers. So I think that that's one of the things that mostly I'm considering and thinking, you know, when it comes to services and product on the side that I worked on.
Interesting. And we talked a little bit about your role and the type of work you do, but I'm curious about in your personal life, what are you planning to do in this year that comes from, you know, almost like 0 to 1, 2021? I think there are so many things that, you know, are changing right now. Like what are you planning to do in this year, especially when all the pandemic and things are kind of stable?
Well, so I actually moved to San Francisco in like late 2019. So I didn't really get a long time to explore the city. I think one of the things that I really would like to do once this is over is actually get out of my neighborhood and explore some of the other areas of the city, maybe actually go across the bridges and sort of explore what's around the bay in general. So that will be one of my goals. The other one is that I really, really, really want to take a trip, maybe go to Europe. I've been thinking Italy, like that would be one of the places that I would really like to see. Yeah.
Cool. Also, what part of Italy are you looking to visit?
Sicily. I just did my DNA test and it seems like I'm 50% Sicilian, 25% from the north of Italy, even though I was born and raised in Argentina. So yeah, cool. I want to go and see my roots.
A lot of people with Italian heritage in Brazil too. So nice.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question here from GRRRRN.
Okay.
What's the biggest challenge in your team in terms of goals and what do you want to accomplish as a team?
So I think that our main goal for this year, after a lot of strategy planning last year, is efficiency, just actually trying to improve the process for all the parts involved. I think that the biggest challenge, and this is not specific to this team, but I think like all the teams that I actually worked on in product and in tech, is that we need to balance out, the product side, the business side, you know, how to save the company money, how to make money, and the cases that the product is making money, the engineer resources, of course. What are we capable to do, and within a certain deadline, and of course on my side, on the design side, you know, I have to be that advocate for the user, making sure that the product is usable, making sure that their experience is good. That also, you know, that we arrive to that efficiency. You know, so I think it's always that dance between balancing these three, you know, eternal, you know, pushes and pulls from all those different departments.
Nice. Cool. And one question from UX Design Matter. How do you define the interaction design role in your team?
How do I define it? This particular team has gone through a lot. I actually joined about 6 months. Previously, I was working on a different team. At the time that I joined, we didn't have a PM. I think that the staff designer left shortly after I joined. So suddenly, I found myself trying to dig out context and history and trying to understand what has been done, what has been tried, where the product came from, where was the product going. In this particular role, the way that I define this product design role is being flexible, being a strong advocate for the user, being aware of the other departments, what they need to accomplish, and try to advocate for all of these different pieces, right? And I think as designers, we do have this really sort of difficult role. We're in the middle. You know, I hear things from my research manager. I hear things from my product manager. I hear things from the engineer managers. And I'm like here in the middle, just like listening to every single voice track and being like, okay, you want this, you want that, you want that. Sometimes those things are not compatible. And as a designer, I have to produce something while also advocating for users and what I know that is the best for them, and try to come up with something in between all of that. And so I think like I'm sort of like a referee, and I'm sort of like just this middle ground and trying to have empathy for all those different pieces, you know, of the team, and try to do my best to just land somewhere in the middle where everybody is somewhat happy, you know, win-win situations as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. We have a question from Christy Okada.
Yo, Christy.
Yeah. What does community mean to you?
That's a really good question. I think like it's one of my drivers, really. One of the side things that I do at Lyft, as well as I, aside from my day-to-day design tasks, I'm the lead of the LGBTQ ERG. For those that don't know, it's a resource group for LGBTQ people, you know, so we do programming, we do events, we are fostering inclusivity and try to create a safe space for everybody. Before that, I was the same at EA. And previous to that, I was part of Fresh to Design, which was a community back in Austin, where I'm from, where we just helped, you know, new designers coming out of college to find their first job. And so I think community is really important. I think I think beyond me and I think beyond my own needs, and just try to affect, you know, similar to what Len was saying, you know, like if I am striving and aligning with the vision of the company, I can also like make my team better. I can also bring, you know, some of the benefits or the things that I have in my life and share them with others. And I think that's ultimately like one of the biggest like Lyft missions and my own mission in my life.
Nice. Very cool. Well said. Dario, what's your favorite game right now? That's a question from me.
I am playing three games because I am, can I say this word? I'm actually a game slut. So I can't really focus on one game every time. So I got three games. I have Phoenix right now on PS4. I have Sackboy, which is a 3D platform from Little Big Planet, Little Character. And I just got another one called Horizon Zero Dawn. It was on sale at Best Buy, and I really, really, really love it. Before that, I was playing the Star Wars EA's game. I forgot the name. Jedi, Fallen Jedi Order. That's really good. Uh-huh.
No Cyberpunk 2077.
I did not get it because I still have a PS4 and I was not going into that with a PS4. I'm going to wait until I get the PS5.
Good idea. All right. Yeah. Well, Dario, thank you so much.
Of course.
I'll give you a last space to say anything or leave a message. Especially, again, for people who follow us.
I just want to do a shout out to all my friends that just joined. So I saw Mina and Christy and May and everybody. Thank you for joining. And thank you, Koji, for inviting me.
Of course. Thank you so much for your time. And have a great rest of your week, too. All right. Let's get to the third one. This is getting exciting and a little crazy, a little confusing, but really fun. So now the next one will be Julie. Hey, Julie.
Hi, Koji. How are you?
Hi. All right, Julie. Julie, I want to introduce you very quickly. So Julie is a design program manager on Fleet Team. Prior to Lyft, she worked at Cooper, and she's the first design ops person that we have here. So I'm very excited, and maybe we can talk a little bit more about that. By the way, I didn't know you worked at Cooper. I really like that place. I took a class there for visual design a long time ago, but it was very special. I really like Cooper.
So glad. That's awesome.
All right. Okay. So for those who don't know, Cooper, it was a I think it still exists, right? As a UX consultancy agency, right?
It was absorbed into Designit, which is an agency that was based out of Europe in 2017. So it's exists in its like essence, but now is a part of a bigger organization.
Yeah. So Alan Cooper is not involved in it anymore.
No, Alan is living the life on a farm in Petaluma. He is just he's having an amazing time.
Yeah. So Alan Cooper is a big famous author. He wrote several design books. If you haven't read About Face, for instance, that's a great book. Anyways, let's move on. So Julie, I want to have a very simple question for you, because I know a lot of people who follow me might never really worked with a DPM before, a design program manager, or maybe they're curious about it. They want to learn a little bit more. Maybe they want to become a product design manager, a program design manager. So can you tell us a little bit about what it is to be a DPM?
Yeah. Well, first of all, very exciting to be your first design ops representative. And I'll say it is a little difficult to articulate our full scope just because our day-to-days are so different. So even at Lyft, the like role that I play on Fleet may be very different than the role that someone plays as a DPM on Driver, which could be very different than the DPM on core design. But really kind of at our core, we're about creating ideas and solutions, programs, systems that help meet the needs of our audience, very much like a designer would. Just our audience happens to be our teammates. So we work with product designers, UX researchers, writers, illustrators, and just think about the ways that we can improve our working environment. And sometimes that could mean creating an onboarding program. Sometimes that means like project tracking and helping to make sure that things are prioritized correctly. And sometimes that just means talking to people and helping them work through things that they're dealing with on their own. So we work really closely with our design teams, but also our extended tech teams, our PMs, our engineering, our QEs, our marketing teams too.
Mm-hmm. For someone who maybe, you know, are interested about being a design program manager, what do you think are the biggest traits for someone who wants to follow that path?
Yeah, I would say first of all, it's an amazing path. And all of the people who I meet in design ops are like just very lovely and welcoming and supportive human beings. Like it's an amazing group to be a part of. I think the skills that are really important are largely around communication, which I think is important wherever you are and whatever role you are. But this is very heavily reliant on communication skills and organization skills, because you are very frequently working at a high level. And in order to keep track of all of the things that are happening at that level, you have to be really thoughtful in how you organize and spend your time.
Makes sense. Yeah, I feel that too with all the DPMs I work with, especially the ones that are very good like you, that they're very welcoming people. They can connect very well different people who have totally different points of view. So it's a very, very nice trait and very hard, I would say. Okay, and we talk a little bit about the AMU conference with Dario and Lynn. I know you were part of the organization. So can you tell a little bit more about the conference, how it was to organize it, and even a little bit before that, like what was the inspiration to start the internal conference?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So there was a small group really involved with organizing and planning this. But I think our inspiration really, at least for me, my inspiration came from, it was about halfway through the year. We were in like July and things were really, really bleak at that point. It was, you know, we were only halfway through the year and already so much had happened. And this group kind of came together around the idea of making something for the product design team at Lyft that could help bring us together, build connections across our teams, and just give the organization the chance to be creative again, to like step out of our normal day-to-day working life and be together and do something fun. And that was really the inspiration. And that was our goal for the event the whole time, was finding ways to make that happen. We were super fortunate that we have an amazing leadership team who very immediately stood behind us and they were like, yes, go do this, rock on. And we had a huge support from our product design team as well. People like you, Koji, who stepped up and said, you know, I have a million things that I'm doing and I'm still going to create a session for people. I'm going to make space. I'm going to do something that the team can benefit for. So we really loved the number of speakers and session leaders that were from our product design team that were just representing all of the amazing skills that they had. So it was an amazing event for me, but I'm very heavily biased in that perspective. But I think, oh, good. I'm glad you liked
it. I think everybody loves it.
I think we had very simple goals, but I think very sometimes difficult ones to achieve because they're very experiential and very emotional. But I think I was so happy with how everything turned out at the end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and it's, you know, it is hard to organize an event. It's even harder to organize an event where everybody's working from home. So, you know, huge kudos to you and to the team who organized this. It was beautiful put together. And I think it just like re-energized the team a lot where we have this get together where we're not necessarily talking about work, but it is still related to work. So it was beautiful. Thanks for organizing it again.
You're so welcome.
Yeah. Okay, getting the personal area a little bit. What's your personal resolution? The biggest one, maybe, or the biggest ones?
Yeah. So I'm not a huge resolutions person, but I do have goals for this year that are really tied to self-care. I definitely lapsed into some really bad habits, especially towards the end of last year. And it was like just not taking care of myself and not really like helping myself be successful. So this year I'm really trying to make space for that. And that looks like going on walks after work, just leaving my apartment, getting out of my little space, fresh air, sunshine, if we can get it, and just spending some time that's, you know, not in the four walls that I live in and now work in. The other thing is I really love cooking, but really like phoned it in last year and still kind of to this year as well. So I'm trying to find ways to like get space to start cooking again. And so one way that I'm trying to encourage myself is by watching a lot of cooking reality TV shows. There's so many of them and there's just such a nice, like, you get to see so many different ingredients and so many different people like sharing their food and their experience.
We saw a useful one another day, The Leftovers. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
No.
So you learn how to do like great dishes with leftovers.
Oh man, that is like all I eat for lunch these days is just leftovers and maybe like a salad, like just throw some lettuce on the plate. But that's kind of how I survive. But anyway, yeah, cooking is another big thing that I'm trying to make space for this year.
Nice. And you talked about the habits. You know, one thing that it's kind of funny is that I think we walked a lot during the pandemic because we have the dog and we have to walk him out. Now we're doing like 3 times a day. So that helps so much because that just like that pause in the middle of the day just to like take a quick walk, get some fresh air, as you said. Like it's, you know, I am in Long Beach right now, so the weather is pretty nice. It helps a little bit. Yeah.
That's good. So awesome. But yeah, good. It's such a good motivator. Nice. Just to like get out of your seat. There's another little furry animal that like wants you to move. So maybe I should get a dog. Maybe that's what I'm learning right now.
It's a big motivation for sure. Yeah. All right. So we have a few other questions here that I want to give back to you. Another question from GRRRRN. It's what Lyft product design team culture looks like.
Oh, man. it's hard to say with like any real authority, but I think our culture is it's very authentic. It's very easy to show up as myself and to feel welcomed as myself. I think that that is really echoed from our leadership. I think our VP Audrey does an amazing job always being super genuine. So I think our culture has that kind of sense of self. I like to think that it's fun too. There's this element, I think, particularly within the product team that I support and also within the design ops team as well. But there's just this like, people are so transparent and just like sarcastic and funny. And that's something that for me, I like, it clicks so easily and I love that environment. So there's just like a great sense of humor, I think, within our team, that I have experienced as well. So I think it's a lovely, like a lovely group of human beings who are all trying to do good things for each other.
I can't agree more with everything you said. I think it just summarized perfectly to me. Yeah, being yourself, it's actually one of our values at Lyft, right? Like being your authentic self. So it's very infused on what we do. All right. Another question from someone who I don't have the name is, how different DPM role is from a product manager role?
Yeah, I would say our roles are pretty different. I would articulate a product manager as owning a feature, making decisions, really collaborating closely with design and engineering and QE to like bring the thing into the world. I'm really thinking about how do we create more transparency between our design team so that it's easier to know what people are working on and easier to kind of understand where the overlaps and the gaps are. I think about like, how do we onboard people to our design team? And how do we onboard people to our fleet team? Product managers are certainly thinking about that as well, but I'm more hands-on in creating that, either that deck or that presentation or that meeting or that walkthrough, whatever it is. So I think it really comes down to ownership over the product, which is very much within the PMs, the product manager's hands, versus like ownership over working relationships and how things are sort of progressing, which is a little bit more in the DPM's hand, although it is really obviously always a partnership between so many different people to make that happen.
Well said. Okay, so I want to make sure that we have time to your final words. So if you want to share something or maybe talk a little bit about like someone who may be watching us right now and want to transition to DPM role, it's your space.
Thank you, Koji. Well, first of all, I saw so many lovely friends who don't work in tech. So thank you for joining and listening to me talk about design. If there is someone who's interested in getting involved in design, I'm super happy to chat about that or chat about like what a design program manager career path looks like. I think it is such a interesting role, and it is an evolving role, and it is such a fun discipline to be a part of. So I'm more than happy to chat more about what design ops is like and what DPM roles are like.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate sharing all this knowledge with us here today, and have a great rest of your week.
Thank you.
Bye. Okay, now let's get to the last guest. Hey, Akil.
How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me.
Of course, excited to have you here. Thanks for joining us. Quick introduction, Akil Dakineti is a product designer on safety and customer care. Prior to Lyft, he worked on game industry as well and B2B space. He is also an advocate for rapid prototyping and other UX methods. All right, let's start by talking about your role, like how it is your daily life and your day-to-day work at Lyft?
So like you mentioned, I'm a product designer on safety and customer care within the Lyft team. And that is a team that mostly involves, the work involves dealing with safety issues, support issues that Lyft riders and drivers run into every day when they take Lyft rides, when they use rentals, when they use bikes and scooters. So my day-to-day is a mix of two things. One, working in the app sometimes, where riders and drivers file issues of things that could go wrong in a given Lyft ride, as well as the other interface where Lyft support associates actually handle all those issues, which is like a giant shared kind of inbox type thing where they route issues to different team members. And so I'm designing those interfaces where I'm ensuring that people who have issues can file, report their problems as quickly and efficiently as possible, whereas the support associates can also handle and resolve them as quickly as possible. So it's a lot of work with researchers and other designers as well across cross-functional teams on the rider and driver teams to try and figure out what the best ways to get users through the flows as fast and efficiently as possible would be.
Very cool. And a lot of responsibility too. Yep. Thank you. And what I would ask you the same question that I asked Julie. What's your biggest personal resolution for this year?
Sure. So one of my resolutions, a personal one, is to do activities that don't involve staring at screens so much. Last year was especially, got a little burned out on this because a lot of my hobbies involved also working on side projects that involved, you know, staring at screens and working in Figma. And my other hobbies are like playing video games and things. So every time I'm not working, I find myself just staring at a different type of screen. And so I'm trying to be a little more active with doing other projects, reading physical books, like physical art, and doing those kinds of things. Basically trying to branch out my outside of time work into activities that don't involve looking at screens all the time.
That makes a lot of sense. I was reading a lot of physical books, but now because we're traveling, I just flip back to Kindle, but I think it's a great idea. Any specific tips on strategies on how to get out of the like screen mode? Like, is there anything you do like during the day to make sure that you stop and think about other ways to interact with the an object, for instance?
Yeah, one big thing for me has been just stepping away from my desk, because this has kind of turned into a place where I have my work laptop set up, all my like gaming PC setups and everything. And if I am sitting in this chair, I find myself very inclined to just sort of engage with the screens. So just going to a different area where, like the living room or the coffee table, where you just have other objects. We have a chessboard that my fiance and I occasionally play with. Book reading books, sitting on the couch and not in front of a TV. Little techniques that don't force you to get away from screens as much as possible has been a technique that I've found effective, because once you get into that flow state of doing the activity, you forget that screens existed.
Makes sense. And you talked about books. I'm just curious about like what's the latest, or what is the book you have in mind right now you're reading recently?
Sure, yeah. There's been one that I've kind of been reading on and off. It's sort of like a coffee table book. It's called The Messy Middle. It's about the founders of Behance, the design website, and how they kind of grew that company from the idea all the way until they sold to Adobe. And it documents kind of in a very digestible snippet fashion, like little tips and tricks to keep working and getting through the grunt of everyday work that's not as exciting. Just like, how do you stay motivated in the long term while you see your idea true fruition? It's sort of meant for entrepreneurs a little bit, but it also has a lot of good nuggets on just best design practices in general.
I love the stories about startups. I actually read that book, No Filter, from Instagram, and It was so interesting. Like a lot of things that we never, you know, imagine are written in that book. So it's very interesting to read the stories behind the products we use. Cool. Good suggestion. All right. So I have some quick questions here for you. One is a good one. At least for me, I think it's a good one to think about. But what's your second choice profession?
Oh, wow. When I was younger, I spent a lot of time thinking that I would be kind of like an automotive designer. So I would still be a designer, I think, but just a different type of designer. I used to spend a lot of time sketching like the interior dashboards of cars and just drawing cars a lot of the time. And I actually very seriously considered pursuing a career or education in the transportation design space, but ultimately decided against it because it required a lot of specialization and training. But yeah, if it was to work out, I could see myself kind of going into that space and obsessing over the design of both the interiors and exteriors of automobiles.
Interesting. It's interesting that you end up in transportation somehow, so it's not that far from it.
Yeah, it's still possible at Lyft, so.
Yeah, very cool. All right, let me get to the questions from the audience here. Let's see. A question from Sunny Sideup. Is any challenge you would had as a designer at Lyft during this pandemic?
Sure. So a challenge that I personally faced was I started at Lyft fully remotely. So I started last May, so I've only been here for about 8-10 months now. And one of the biggest challenges was just building interpersonal relationships with cross-functional team members. I think this is something that comes naturally in an office environment where you're just kind of like running into people in the hallways or working in a co-design space. So that has been a little difficult because, as we know, in a remote setting, all the interactions we have with people can feel very transactional. And you don't get to kind of build that relationship and run ideas off of each other. But there have been ways around it, kind of like meeting up with designers, and we have co-working sessions every other week or so. So it's kind of been a nice way to offset the lack of co-designing and collaboration that comes with remote working.
Interesting. Have you run any workshops with your team remotely or?
Good question. Not yet, but we are planning on doing one very soon. We had a lot of ideation sessions that were very freeform last year. But we're doing more structured workshops and brainstorming sessions that will lead to something bigger as we go into 2021. So we've got those planned for late March.
Very cool. Awesome. Exciting. We've run some workshops in our team and it's hard, but I think it's still very valuable even remotely because, you know, people really are willing to collaborate during the pandemic and it's so hard to do it via Slack or email. So yeah, I highly recommend. So Lin Janati is asking, what would make a portfolio stand out to you?
Sure, yeah. So this might be an obvious answer, but storytelling in a case study is a really good sign in a portfolio. Today, typically, I run across this very commonly in portfolios where people just have a bunch of really good-looking designs and frames showcasing the UI skills. But for roles at, you know, larger tech companies where you're designing in a product development process, you need to showcase your ability to storytell and kind of sell the idea. So if you have a persona, tell the story through the persona of how this person named Max is using the product and how it's solving it for this person. It's more about what I look for, at least in a portfolio, is about the process of how you go through the design, not necessarily the final thing that you end up with. So there's so many variables in any given project that if your process is good, your ultimate solution will end up being good. So yeah, focus more on storytelling and in the process and less on the final outcome, I would say.
Yeah, I would plus one that. I think storytelling is one of the skills that we sometimes forget about it, but they are like core skills and super important for designers. And it's part of the communication umbrella, but it is definitely something that, you know, I feel designers should push more and more. Okay, so question from Thaisa is, what's your favorite way to take care of yourself during the pandemic? Is there anything you're doing to self-care, to do self-care during the pandemic?
Sure, yeah. I have a similar answer to what Julie mentioned earlier, which is to take walks every day after work. That has been really instrumental. Doing a quick like walk and workout to just step away from everything has been really nice. And to listen to podcasts at the same time, which I didn't do a lot of before the pandemic. So just going on like an hour walk and listening to a podcast about either some topic that you're interested in that you normally would not sit down and read an article about has been really awesome. That's another way of not getting too much screen time. If there's an article that you really like, there's probably an audio version available. You can just listen to that podcast on a long walk instead. So that has been my most effective strategy so far since the pandemic started. Yeah.
Very cool. I love that. I'm a big fan of podcasts too. And we actually have one podcast following us today, Latinx in Power. So it's a shout out. Okay. Akil, thank you so much for your time. I want to give you some space to, again, share whatever or give some final advice for people who are following us today here. And that's it. Thank you so much for your time.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks a lot for having me. And for those listening, it sounds like we have a lot of people who are not in the tech or design industry. If you want to follow me on, you know, Twitter and everything, I'm happy to chat one-on-one if you want advice or coaching. I had a lot of mentors early on in my career when I was trying to break into the design industry. I had studied engineering and was trying to break into design and chatted with a lot of people. So if anyone else is looking for a similar guidance to transition careers into design or get feedback on their portfolio, happy to help and chat.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Akil. Thanks for your time. Thanks everyone who followed us today. I think it was a little bit bumpy and trying to like navigate this and understand how it worked. And I hope that I did a okay job changing from one guest to another, but it's been super exciting trying a new thing. So thank you so much. Thanks for your patience and thanks for being here today.
My name is Koji, and this is Cells and Pixels.